Let's go back to Colossians 2, and we're getting close to the end of Colossians 2. We left off with verse 16 and 17 of chapter 2 last time, and so we're going to pick up with study 18 in our study of wisdom. And then, of course, Jack's Everly's Workman's Interlinear. We're doing that in cahoots with each other to realize and understand, to try to get as much as we can devoted to these last seven books that Paul wrote. And tonight's study is study 100. And in our study since we've had this going on.
A little bit of a milestone there.
It's been about 2 years, I guess, since we got started on that. But looking back at what we're going to deal with, starting with verse 18, we have another, actually, it don't say that, but we do have a caution there. In verse 18 or 16 through 18, and we've done been through 16 and 17 because, you know, our last study was let no man judge you. And because this, the things that were mentioned in the judging was back in another dispensation. And so we're gonna look at the caution here in 18, and then we're dealing with Christ as the head, and to realize the rest of the chapter that the body is nourished by the head. The body of Christ, of course, is nourished by the head, and that the ordinances that we're talking about here that we ask not to be judged by, or they're done away with in Christ. They've been nailed to the cross, actually, in that sense, they were taken away. So we're going to start with 18 tonight, and go as far as we can go, and if we don't get done, we'll finish it next time and go from there. 18 has a good bit of stuff to look into, or the where we go back and we look to see that it has been talked about before in other places in some sense, but we'll finish it that way. So we'll just go ahead and do what we've been doing. Tonight's time and date is the 14th day of July 2021 for our 100th study. And it says this in 18, it says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So we see that when people go to testifying and teaching things, sometimes these things are become a little problem because we're not all on the same page in our understanding, even in these last seven epistles. And I'll read you my notes. It says, "Let no man," now we went through that a little bit in verse 16, where it talks about no man beguile you of your reward. And that comes down to defrauding you of your prize, because the things that have been promised to us concerning the body of Christ are yea and amen. And so, so you don't want to get involved with somebody that doesn't rightly divide the scripture and starts off on something that they don't really know a whole lot about. And it says, and this is what we're talking about of the defrauding you of your prize is the freely given promises of the Godhead. Talking about, as we go back to verse 16, in a voluntary humility. And that includes temptations, trials, and plots. And you know, the Apostle Paul, they had plotted against him in every way you could think of, almost, down through the ages, to do him in. And so, it's getting to the point here where he doesn't have a lot of time left. And so the plots and where he is in Rome may not be as easy to reckon with as if you were somewhere in Jerusalem or around the temple area. So, because there's, I suppose, here in Rome, there was a lot more of the Italians there to take care of business, and they were allowing Israel to try to take care of its own business itself. Sometimes it worked well, sometimes it didn't. Talking about in a voluntary humility, which is temptations, trials, and plots, and worshiping of angels. And that, when you look at that, it's religion. It's acts or objects other than God. And it is intruding into or in really investigating those things which he hath not seen. And a lot of this stuff was thought up, but had not been truly looked upon. And so when you get involved with somebody that's trying to teach you something, if he's thought something up on his own, if it's not in Scripture, if it's not written down in Scripture, or you can't find it somewhere in Scripture, then you need to be skeptical of what person's saying to you, because it might not be true. They or he might not be on the right slant with it in that situation. Talking about things which he has not seen. If you haven't seen something yourself, then it's best just to let it be, because it what you think about it, what I think about it, may not be what God meant it to be in that situation. Okay, this is thought up but had not truly looked upon, vainly puffed up. So we need to do not believe mankind if it has not been written in God's word. So he's talking about people that have the fleshly minds that are puffed up. So a lot of times we get into situations that we just don't see it maybe the way it should be. And I guess we talked about it a little bit before this study started. in that sense. Okay. But you see what Paul was getting at there in verse 18. It says, don't be cheated out of what God has promised you just because somebody has looked at something else and seen it. Maybe they look at it in a different light than you did when come to find out that it might not even be a scriptural thing in that sense. Okay, so let's look at it in the Koine Greek. The Koine Greek says this, no one you let defraud of the prize doing well in humility and the worshiping of angels, which he has seen intruding into vanity, puffed up by the mind of the flesh of him. Now that's the way it comes out of the Koine Greek. And out of the more modern English, it says, let no one defraud of the prize in well-doing, humility, and worshiping of angels, intruding into the things not seen, vainly puffed up by his mind of flesh. Now, Jack's notes. I read my notes, I read his notes. It says, body members, don't let anyone trick you out of your reward. They are those who preach and teach will worship. It is the Stoic mind frame which causes one to master his will and force himself to do that which is likely to make him proud and vain. This effort and will is not of God. It is not directed by the head. No prize is forthcoming to this one. To exhibit a forced humility, to subject oneself to an abject worship of intermediaries, especially angels, does not bring one in line with God's will. Why worship an angel or angels when one is already under the head directly? The Gnostics and Judaizers were strong to propagate their made-up or Satan-inspired system of worship. Don't be mistaken. These religious side trips are directed by the wiles of Satan. Don't forsake your place in the love of the preeminent one, the one and only head of all things. And so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 places there that we need to look at according to what was just in that one verse of scripture. And so we'll just go ahead and get going by it. The first one we're going to look at is Matthew 11:29. So if you don't mind, turn with me back to Matthew 11. And if I've still got all my little cards in here on my notes here, I can give you the page number. The page number is 1332 if you got a companion Bible. If you don't, I don't know what page yours would be on. That's pretty much the only one I use. And it says, and I'll just read verse 28 and 29 of Matthew 11. It says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. read two or three more verses there that goes along with that. But you see, he's saying, look, you know, he said, I'm meek, and you can learn of me, and I'm lowly in heart. And if you take all this to your heart, you certainly can understand and enjoy it. Okay, let's go to Acts for the second one. And we're going to look at Acts 26:5. And Acts 26:5. And this is Paul speaking to Agrippa here. 26:5. And it's on page 1650. And Paul's talking to Agrippa here, and he says, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And he says in verse 6, and I'll just read it, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. So, that's what Jack wanted us to look at from Acts 26. Now, the next one is in 1 Corinthians, two places. 1 Corinthians, four, six, and part of it's on one page, and part of it's on the next. 1701, 1702. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 4:6. And it says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. So the question was, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? And if thou hast not received it, as if thou had not received it. And then let's turn to over to 1 Corinthians 8. And look at the first verse of chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So he's going into a situation here where he talks about things offered to idols. And it says that knowledge there brings liberty to oneself. But liberty could cause stumbling of other people. So you have to be careful when you teach these things that you know and understand what's going on here. So that was the reason for chapter 8 and verse 1 there. Now, let's go a few more pages over or back to the book of Romans. And let's go back to Romans 7 to start off with. We're going to look at Romans 7, 22 to 25. And that's on page 1676. 22 to 25, it says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he answers that question with, "I thank God through Jesus our Lord." Okay, that's 22 through 25. And then we're going to look at that was page 1676.
There's a little more up on top of the next page.
And then we're going to look at 8:7. Romans 8:7, that's on the next page, 1677. Let's just start back at 5. It said, "For they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So that goes back to the those that think these things up and don't, and they're not written down or they're not testified to in Scripture somewhere, because the book itself testifies of itself. It always does. And so God gives us enough understanding from dispensation to dispensation to dispensation that somewhere, somehow, in some way, we now have the complete Word of God. We don't have to look for it. It's not somebody coming up every day with something brand new, because that's just not the way it is. We have the Word of God now the way He wants it to be. Okay, let's look at 19 of Colossians 2. And we'll just go ahead and read it. And it says, "And not holding the head." And it goes back to Christ being the head of the body, that He is bringing forth, and will show it and when He appears. Said, "Not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God." So here we find that all these things are knit together as one thing. And that's the way the Godhead works. The Godhead is knit together with three entities, but these entities looking things the same way. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it says, "And not holding or holding fast the head." And this is what we're been helped from these teachings of Paul, that we need to hold fast to the head, because this is what has sealed us. This is how we found out that we have been adopted into the family of God. And it is the head that does all this for us. And so we got to hold fast the head. And from 19 through the rest of the chapter, it says, these things of this epistle is giving us the necessity of holding fast to the head, because it mentions it over and over from here to the end of this, or to verse 23, which is the end of this chapter. And not holding fast the head, from which, or in whom, all the body, joints and bonds having nourishment ministry. And that means if you go back to Ephesians 4:16 and look at it, and we will do that, but when we read what Jack does, but the it's like a line that's passing in and out and through. It's these joints and bands having nourishment ministered. And the bands here talks about, we find in Acts 8:23, it's being ministered by God and knit together to increase. And that goes back to Ephesians 4:16 with the increase of God. So, we the body are going to be made up by these joints and bands and having this nourishment ministered to us by the head or by God and knit together into a body with the increase of God. Now, let's read what Jack got to say about that in 19. And to bring it down out of the Koine, it says, and not holding the head, out of whom all the body, through joints and bands being nurtured and knit together, increases with the increase of God. And the English that Melda put in here is pretty much exactly the same thing as what we had just read down out of the Koine Greek. And Jack's note says this, Vincent says, the word is probably used here of the false teachers who profess to see heavenly truths in visions and to investigate and discuss philosophically the revelation that they have received. And I go to think about the man wore the rose-colored glasses and all these things. You get all kinds of people that
Joseph Smith,
and all this comes up with these supposedly new revelations that they have, but it's not in the Scripture. See, so it still goes back to the, don't let anybody beguile you or cheat you out of your reward. And it says the Colossians and the Laodiceans believers well understood that these charlatans and their fake visions. The issue is Christ. There is none who should try to steal his preeminence, because there's none who can change him. Don't matter if you think you can change it, you can't do it. The sin of not holding the head is substantial. The body is greater than any psychologist, that is greater than any psychologist can plumb. His body grows not by numbers and bulk. His body grows more spiritually efficient as the members hold to his headship. No intermediaries now stands between Christ and his body. The intimacy is unparalleled, and the compactness has been unknown to this point. The increase continues in marvelous fashion, yet not subject to human calculation. Because now we don't really look at it and say, well, how many is in your group? Because it's not the number. It's the amount of understanding that's there, and not just the number, because that's what true faith gives us. True salvation gives us that, and it's not a numbers game that we're dealing with here. Turn with me back just a few verses, or back to Ephesians. We're going to read Ephesians 4:16 again, because let's just read from 13 through 16 or 17. And Paul says this in Ephesians, and we went through it. It says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Because all these things that Paul went through, all the people that chased him down or tried to chase him down and kill him, it just didn't work out. When they did catch him and stone him, God raised him up again. It says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Because you see, there's going to be a family in heaven. It's the body of Christ, and there's going to be a family on earth, which is God's part in the New Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven and sit on the earth for the Israelites, because that's what Abraham looked for and never seen when he was out scouting the land. He looked for a building whose maker and builder was God. Not man-made. Said that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. This is Ephesians 4.
This is Ephesians 3.
Oh, Ephesians 3. Okay.
I didn't know if I was crazy or if you was reading the wrong thing.
Okay.
I kept looking up to see what was going on.
Well, this
on
is
here.
So good, I'm going to finish it anyway.
I mean, you're not hurting my feelings or anything. We're just not matching up on.
Okay. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Okay. Let me get to the right one. I make the mistakes like everybody else did, but 4:16. I'm sorry.
You still want to start at 4:13?
No.
Okay.
We'll start in 14.
Okay.
4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. You got that? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So everyone that is to be enjoined in this body has a part to play in that whole realm of things. And I don't know why I didn't catch that before I read the other one, but
that's quite okay. I couldn't figure out what
we were just on the street before this street, so we wasn't one. We wasn't but one block away.
I'm like, I'm missing something.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounded familiar, but
okay. Sorry about that. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 20 says this, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" And then it goes on to list some, but let's just do 20 by itself. And it says this, and my notes were pretty long. They were longer than, so let's see what we said. Wherefore, if, here we got an if. This is assumed or assumption as an actual fact, the condition being unfilled. Because it says, "Where if ye be dead or died with Christ?" And we know that that's what's going to happen, but we're still living. So this is the little word E-I-S, E-I-S. And this is a line drawn to meet another line at a certain point. If you go back to appendage 104 and look at it. The rudiments here. I looked it up in the Strong's and in the Greek, it is number 4747. And the Greek word for that is stoikion. Stoikion, and it means something orderly or in arrangement, as a line and a marching band. They march in line. They have formed an order of how and what they do. And so that's the deal of the rudiments. It's something orderly or in an arrangement. If you be dead with Christ, it says in 20, from the rudiments of the world, and the world has some kind of order to it. Sometimes we don't really believe that, maybe, but it's the way it's supposed to be, of the world, as though living in the world, are you subject to these things, or ordinances? And he talks about a couple of things here. So we realize that we live in a supposedly in a world with laws and rules and all this and arrangements. But yet, if we have died with Christ, then why do we get involved with these things that no longer apply to us?
Kind of the way the world does it.
Yeah.
That's a good Greek form for that, because it shows the form or the arrangement of the world, the way the world has everything arranged.
Yes.
That's not our...
That's not our deal.
Not our...
No. We're not in step with the next man, because he might not be in step with God.
Yeah, amen.
So, you can't follow the world if we are dead with Christ and we have or understand that all of this that we've been promised, the prize and all these things that we've been promised that we've talked about here is going to be for us. And why do we worry about all this stuff that the world puts forth?
Well, all these ordinances come out of that worldly arrangement.
And it might not be for the person that's trying to live for God. So that's part of that situation. Let's look at Romans 6. Romans 6. See if we can find Romans 6. And it's, we're going to look at verses 2-4. It's on page 1673, I think. Yeah, Romans 6, verse 2-4. Well, let's go back to 1, because just having read this and talked about this a little bit, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, we're not to follow those things of sin, the worldly things, the things of the world. It says, God forbid, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? In verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And that was what was given by Jack for us to look at here in 20. Now, 21 of Colossians 2 says this, and this is a parenthetical insertion here, and it 21 and 22 is pretty much together, so we'll just read them together. Talking about why we're subject to ordinance like touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrine of men. Because the doctrine of men, they just perish with the using. Now it says this. We read two verses. 21 out of the Koine Greek says, not you may handle, not you may taste, not you should touch. and to bring it down into English, you may not handle, you may not taste, and you should not touch. And the note on 21 is this: the Jewish law is full of commandments and ordinances descending in the most trivial of life's activities. The laws were extensions of Jewish understanding of God's commands. While often they were wise reasonings behind them, they had grown farther and farther from the truth. To compound the situation, carnal religion had cast them in the forms of yokes to subject the people to their hierarchy. There was no good to come from the enslavements of the dogmatism of the Jewish rulers and the Pharisees. And verse 22 says this, again, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. And 22 says, which is all unto corruption in the using according to the injunctions and teachings of men. And if you bring it down to the English there, it says, which all are using unto corruption according to the injunctions and the teachings of men. And then Jack's notes on 22. Matthew 6, 19 and 20 speaks of moth and rust corrupting. The things of this earth we often hold so dearly are those which cannot last. The injunctions, those commands to do and don't, if not wholly scriptural and rightly divided, contribute nothing to our pleasing of Him or our lives in the body. The teaching of men may be high sounding and of great religious import, but they will be weak comparison to the direction of our Savior in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, for an accurate picture of these situations, please read Matthew 15, 1 through 20, and Mark 7, 1 through 23. I may have enough time to do just that. Okay. We're going to go back to Matthew 15. And we'll roll back to there. That's the one in Mark. Let's go back to the one in Matthew.
What verse?
Matthew 15, 1 through 20.
Yes.
Okay. This is teaching about Pharisees and their transgression. Part of it is. Then came Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profit by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God none effect by your tradition. ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah the prophet of you say, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth in the mouth defileth the man, but that which comes out of the man, out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Well,
I don't think he cared much.
Yeah, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. They said, if you got dirty hands, that don't defile you. But the other things that you can get involved with certainly can do that. Okay, Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, 1 through 23. So Jack wanted us to see that, to see these two as a picture. Let's see where 23 went. Well, no, we're not going to do the whole chapter, but okay. 7:1 of Mark. It says, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, and when they saw his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of the pots and cups, and many other such things like ye do. And he said unto them, fully well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and who curses the father or the mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and he shall be free, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such things like do ye. And when he hath called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house, from the people his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entered not into his heart, but into his belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man, for from within, out of our heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulterers, fornications, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So those two things are basically the same story looked at from the different views of the writer between Matthew and Mark. And so this is what Jack wanted us to look at, to get the picture, because even between the two writers of the word, see, there was things in one that wasn't in the other in that sense. But the end of the story is, or the rest of the story is, that the parable was the same regardless of which man wrote it. It just come a little different way between the man, because here the word of God is the word of God, but man that written it down put the slam on it for that. And that's the way, you know, that we look at it and need to be careful in that sense. Okay, so we've gone over by a couple of minutes, but maybe it wasn't as bad as it was last week. So we got one more verse to go, but we'll not do that tonight because it's kind of a long one that concludes that whole dissertation in that chapter of two of Colossians. But we'll pick it up with the last verse and then go to the next chapter the next time. So thank you for being with us tonight, and that we're looking at things that are important, evidently, or Paul would not have placed them in the epistles that he put forth there. Because he starts off with the next chapter, says, if you're risen with Christ, And that's an important situation to be risen with Christ. Amen. To be dead with him is one thing, but to be risen with him is
a whole lot better.
Is the aspect of understanding that we will live again in Christ. In Christ. He now lives in us through the Holy Spirit, but we're going to live in him through the Spirit, or by the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's, my view of this, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in a dead person. Because the Holy Spirit, I think, lives and abides in the live person, but when the call comes for that person to no longer have breath of life, then I think the Spirit takes back to Christ what it is that he's going to give that person whenever he appears again. Because I think it's almost like he's pigeonholing what he needs is that individual, that when he appears, then all this will come forth in life again. I guess I do a little bit of that myself, because I try to look at things as being as, because I don't know exactly what God's doing there, Christ is doing there, but he's doing something for these ones, because he knows those that are his. And he's not going to let one of them not be there for the appearing. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so he's not going to get his body together and then go up the road a little ways and say, oh, we left some behind. That's just not going to take place. It's not going to be. So thank you for being with us tonight, for dealing with these things that Paul has left for us to get a handle on or understand. And may God bless.